I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Feel your best and amplify your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.
The In-Between is intended for mature audiences and may include topics that can be unsettling, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, rape, murder, and animal abuse. Testimony shared by guests of the show is their own and does not reflect the views of Mel Barrett, Ruby Grace Productions, or Grab Bag Collab. Listener discretion is advised.
Can we admit that we're all transfixed by that sick little soap opera trial in Exeter, New Hampshire?
What time did you get here today?
1:30 this morning.
1:30? Why?
Wanted to get a front row seat, I guess.
If this story were a made-for-TV movie, and it surely will be, you might not believe it.
It is August 1st, 1990. Time is 10 a.m. Seabrook, New Hampshire. We're about to do a one-party consent via telephone.
Sat around brainstorming the pros and cons of slitting a man's throat rather than firing a .38 caliber projectile through his head.
Yes.
There's only one person in the state of New York who is sitting in prison tonight with a sentence of life with absolutely no possibility of parole.
Yes, yes, I need a policeman. 4D Misty Morning Drive.
Okay, what's going on over there, ma'am?
There's somebody screaming for help outside.
Welcome back to the In-Between podcast. I'm your host, Mel Barrett, and we're moving through our bonus episodes part of this podcast series. In episodes 1 through 8, I broke down who the players are or were, what happened to Greg Smart, the inconsistencies and mistakes that happened in the investigation and the trial, how the media twisted a story to create an image of Pamela Smart that she's never been able to shake off, what happened to her and around her since she's been incarcerated, and even introduced you to the prosecutor who, it seems, thinks of this case and Pamela Smart as his white whale of sorts. That is, if Captain Ahab had survived Moby Dick and lived to tell a tale that left him refusing to ask himself, could I have done anything differently?
The white whale tasks me. He heaps me. Yet he is but a mask. 'Tis the thing behind the mask I chiefly hate. The malignant thing that has plagued and frightened man since time began.
We've also stumbled upon some new evidence and information about the case, which may lead to a new appeal for the first time in 20 plus years. These bonus episodes will be shorter than the first 8 and will focus on women in the justice system, the new legal fight that's happening in the case, the divide that still exists in New Hampshire and New England over the fate of this woman, the conclusion to the new evidence situation, hopefully a final wrap-up of the Bulkhead fingerprints, and how sentencing works in this country. Another little sneak peek for what's to come? I'm organizing an in-person town hall in New Hampshire to work out why we're so divided about Pamela Smart. It will be brought to you live, and I'm hoping to include some very special guests. And I can't say too much about this yet, but there's a documentary in the works, so stay tuned. With all of that out of the way, I want to touch on Pamela Smart's sentencing in this episode. I've brought it up in previous episodes, but I want to go a little deeper here. Pam Smart was 21 when her husband Greg was brutally murdered in their condo in 1990. By the time she was sentenced to life without parole, she was 22. Even Charles Manson had the option of parole. Unlike Charles Manson, Pam Smart remains firm in her insistence that she had nothing to do with the planning of Greg's murder. Here's Manson over the years explaining his involvement in the heinous crimes he and his quote-unquote children committed.
When I stand on the mountain and I say, do it, it gets done. If it don't get done, then I'll move on it. And that's the last thing in the world you want me to do.
He says, Charlie, look what I did for you.
Yeah.
I give you the world. I just killed myself and I give you the world.
So, how'd you react?
I say, you dumb and I already had the world. You just put me back in jail again. That's what you did. You put me right back in jail.
Remorse for what? You people have done everything in the world to me. Doesn't that give me equal right? I can do anything I want to you people at any time I want to, because that's what you've done to me. If you spit in my face and smack me in the mouth and throw me in solitary confinement for nothing, what do you think's gonna happen when I get out of here?
Guilty of what? There's no need to be guilty. Then you're gonna make me suffer till I say, okay, now I feel guilty. And then you feel secure now that I feel guilty? Was that gonna make you feel better if I feel guilty? Guilty. I wouldn't do anything that I felt guilty about. I'm not breaking no laws this time. Can't that come into your brain? I did not break the law. Jesus Christ told you that 2,000 years ago. You don't understand me. That's your trouble. I don't need to kill anyone. I think it. I have it here.
Manson also had 12 parole hearings and was denied parole 12 times before he died in prison in 2017 at the age of 83. Leslie Van Houten, one of Manson's quote-unquote children who participated in the murder of the LaBiancas, received 24 parole hearings over the course of her 53-year prison sentence. Van Houten held Rosemary LaBianca down, while Tex Watson stabbed LaBianca to death. Tex then handed the knife to Van Houten, and she stabbed Rosemary LaBianca at least 14 more times. Van Houten was granted parole in 2023. Pamela Smart has never once had a parole hearing because she is not now and never will be eligible for parole. Ashley Nellis of the Sentencing Project gave me more insight in our interview about life without parole sentences and how young women are affected by the extreme sentence.
You know, we can't give opinions on specific cases, but I can say that her case and the sort of carnival that was surrounding her trial, her original trial, is illustrative of the way that the justice system often responds to women who commit homicide, which is that there is something very eccentric and something very irredeemable or unrehabilitatable about women who commit homicide. And, you know, all of those sort of features came to light in her trial, which was heavily, popularized on the media and sensationalized. And, it got this sort of lurid tone to it so that she was kind of guilty before she was even, you know, put in trial. And so, you know, that happens more with women. You know, that's sort of a real critique of women that, you know, go into the justice system, particularly for crimes of violence, because it's considered to be, you know, sort of, you know, a violation of the law, of course, but also a violation of this code that we have in American society and others as well, where, you know, there's expectations of women that are different than those of men. So she had gone outside the social norms. So, you know, that really puts an unfair disadvantage on women in terms of their sentencing they get and so on. So, you know, I think hers and others, women who are found guilty of these kinds of crimes are put to sort of a different standard that they're sort of inherently evil. It doesn't really line up with what we know about people, particularly young people who commit acts of violence. You know, she was quite young at the time of this crime. She falls under the age where you would expect a person to mature out of or develop into mature adulthood in the coming years. So sending somebody away to prison for the rest of their lives, you know, really does a disservice to a proportional system of justice, because she's not yet a fully, you know, formed human being. Nobody is, you know, until their mid-20s or so, is what the science tells us. So taking a second look at somebody down the road really shows, you know, the finished product. And when you take a look at somebody like her, you know, again, it's very, very clear that she has evolved into a caring and smart and compassionate and service-oriented person because of all the years that she's devoted to other women in the system since she's been there.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I, like some of you, may also be heartened to hear that a Democratic state legislator from the state of New Hampshire is about to introduce a bill that might offer folks serving life without parole sentences a chance at parole once they hit the age of 60 years old. Pam Smart will turn 60 in 2.5 years. I can't help thinking that the state of New Hampshire won't vote in the affirmative on this bill, but I'm keeping an eye on the progress nevertheless. I recently spoke with the legislator who is drafting the bill, Representative David Muse, and we had a candid and thought-provoking conversation that I want to share with you now.
The person would have to hit the age of 60. They would have to have served a minimum of 25 years of their sentence. And they would have to have basically had a clean disciplinary record for at least the last 10 years.
Okay.
So, you know, at some point, you know, is it worth giving people, you know, who've served a large amount of their sentence and who've shown evidence that they really have changed? Is it worth giving people like that a second look? And what the bill won't do is actually let anybody free. I mean, all it does is make them eligible for a hearing.
Right.
And if you've ever looked at New Hampshire parole hearings, I would say it's pretty tough ask. I mean, for anybody who's been convicted of, you know, first degree murder to get any form of parole in New Hampshire. Matter of fact, I'm not aware of the last time parole was for folks who are sentenced to life without parole. There are no parole hearings,
right.
But they tend to be extremely tough. And I mean, the other part of it too is, you know, executive pardons have just become more theater than, you know, an exercise in any form of justice. So, because it is a total political football, and I'm pretty sure our executive council, let's say the governor decided to, you know, pardon Pam Smart,
right.
Which the incoming governor would never do it. She's not somebody who wants to, you know, has staked any part of her political reputation on freeing people who were convicted of murder. And even if she was to basically say yes to it, a pardon would actually have to be approved by a majority of the executive council in New Hampshire, which is 4-1 Republican and extremely, you know, all of the Republicans are extremely conservative, and I doubt there would be much support. The thing is the pardon route has become, you know, more theater than a legitimate route to achieving justice.
Mm-hmm.
This just basically creates one more potential way. I mean, how likely it is we can debate. And if you saw the WMUR story, you saw one of the members of our criminal justice committee basically saying that Republicans are going to oppose the bill.
I know it's tough in this situation too, because the people actually murdered Pam Smart's husband got paroled over 10 years ago. And she's also been in the state of New York for 32 years, as opposed to New Hampshire. So it's an interesting case, because New Hampshire has to make the final judgment on her, but she hasn't actually been a citizen of New Hampshire for 32 years. So it's complicated, and it's interesting. And I'm really interested to see what happens when you do introduce the bill and what the feedback is.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I can pretty much expect, you know, what the feedback will be, you know, from some quarters. But one of the consequences of having, you know, a Republican governor for the last 8 years is a lot of the judges who've been appointed to the bench are more conservative. And the commissioner has been trying to do things to get more educational programs going, more opportunities, you know, for release for people who don't need to be there. This is not something that has her approval. So that's something that's going on in the background that people need to be aware of as well.
It doesn't feel like it's going to move anytime soon. I know that everyone there is sort of, it to me, it almost feels like there's a little bit of a vendetta against this woman. And I don't know if that's just me with my confirmation bias or what that is, but that's what it feels like.
Well, I think there are a lot of people, and I mean, I would probably fall into this camp too. I did not live in New Hampshire, you know, when all of that was going on. Most of what I know about the Pamela Smart case comes from watching the Nicole Kidman movie,
right.
You know, yeah. And I have read other articles and I've tried to get, you know, more informed about it. But I think a lot of people, you know, just sort of, you know, have that impression in their head. But I think one of the things that you do have to look at, and I mean, in New Hampshire, you know, if you look at our state constitution, we talk about the purpose of corrections in New Hampshire, you know, is reforming people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not the purpose isn't punishment. And I think a lot of times I have to remind my colleagues on the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee that punishment is part of it, but it can't be the whole thing. The other thing that goes on in the background here too is the woman who headed the parole board for years is a former Speaker of the House. She was the first female Speaker of the House in New Hampshire. And the main part of her career as a legislator was during the 80s and the 90s. Mm. And she was a big fan of truth in sentencing. So every time we have a bill where we're trying to reduce things like mandatory minimums, you know, and chip away at truth in sentencing, she comes and testifies in front of her committee. And it's just like listening to something from the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's her whole frame. And frankly, that's the frame of, I would say, most Republicans. They think that this is a matter of, not a matter of justice, it's a matter of being tough on crime and tough on criminals. And you know, as you probably heard from Jennifer Rhodes on the story, mm-hmm. what they try to do is they try to make this about victims.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, in our justice system, and victims actually don't have constitutional rights. Victims' rights aren't mentioned in our Constitution. The people who have rights are the folks who are accused of crimes. And I think legislators work overtime trying to make that up to victims. Ultimately, in the end, I think that sometimes we almost think that Constitution has sort of turned things around. Mm-hmm. It's as much as we feel for victims, as much as we want to help them, as much as we want to make sure that there are a lot fewer of them going forward, our justice system has to deal with the people who are accused of the crimes, right. not the folks who are victims of crimes. And that's a hard thing. That's a hard conversation to have with a lot of my colleagues.
My conclusion after our conversation, I'm right not to get my hopes up. There's just something about the state of New Hampshire being so rigidly stuck in our 80s and 90s justice system, as David Muse said in our conversation. What is that about? Is it that they can't admit when they've gotten something wrong? Is it that they think once you've locked the cell and thrown away the key, a human being no longer exists? But they do exist. How does the state of New Hampshire justify taxpayers paying to house Pamela Smart in the state of New York for 30 plus years? Do the taxpayers even know they're paying for her to be incarcerated in New York State? If you live in New Hampshire, did you realize your tax dollars go toward incarcerating Pam Smart and you'll continue to pay for her prison sentence until she dies behind bars? Are you okay with that? If you're not, contact your representatives. Sadly, Rep. Muse sees the writing on the wall, and my opinion holds here. The state of New Hampshire has some deep-seated vendetta against this woman. It's a red state with a new Republican governor who was a prosecutor before she ran for Senate. The Republicans in New Hampshire believe in punishment, not rehabilitation, according to Rep. Muse. But I can't help thinking with a bit of pressure from their constituents, they might rethink their stance. Maybe? Or maybe I'm just being naive. Maybe crime and harsh punishment are the line for most Republicans in New Hampshire, and there's no in between. I'll say this. If you live in New Hampshire and think that folks who are serving life without parole sentences, who've proven that they are rehabilitated, who are not in any way a danger to society, should be offered a parole hearing, I urge you to contact your representatives and let them know you'd like this bill passed. David Muse agreed to send me the bill as soon as it's finished, and I'll share it at inbetweenpod.com when he does. Whether you're from New Hampshire or not, do you think that Pamela Smart's sentence is reasonable or harsh? Do you think, like Charles Manson and Leslie Van Houten, she deserves the option of a parole hearing? Has she rehabilitated the 21-year-old version of herself in the past 34 years? Have you rehabilitated the 21-year-old version of yourself in the past 10, 20, or 30 years. Please also stop by inbetweenpod.com and click on bonus materials to check out everything Pam Smart has accomplished during her time in prison. And for now, I'll leave you with the reading of an article written by inmate David Ray Fleener for the Prison Journalism Project. It's called, It's Time to Change How Life Without Parole Works. This forever prison sentence is worse than the death penalty, and it's on the rise.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Our legal system defines life without parole as one of the most severe punishments allowed by law, second only to the death penalty due to its irrevocability. While the number of people on death row has been steadily dropping for the past 20 years, the number of people handed life without parole sentences has been rising. There are about 2,500 people in the U.S. on death row, according to the Death Penalty Information Center, while there are more than 55,000 people serving life without parole sentences, according to a 2021 report from the Sentencing Project. The same report found that life without parole sentences, or LWOP, as it is commonly referred to, have increased by 66% since the Sentencing Project first began tracking the data in 2003. Life without parole is the prison sentence most similar to the death penalty. No matter what transformation has occurred in the hearts, minds, or souls of the condemned, they will remain in prison for the rest of their lives without hope of restoration. Despite the harshness of a death penalty sentence, I believe that life without parole is actually a more severe punishment. It has been my experience as someone serving an LWOP sentence that when a human being cannot meaningfully contribute to their future, that is no life at all. Instead, they live long enough to watch themselves die in the hearts and minds of everyone who once loved them. It is torture. That said, I am not in favor of abolishing life without parole. Instead, I advocate for a more responsible use of it as a criminal sanction. I believe the following three policy recommendations would help correct past abuses and prevent future abuses of LWOP sentences. First, I do not think that first-time felons who have committed non-aggravated crimes should be sentenced to life without parole. That is unfair when there is no prior criminal record. Second, when life without parole is a sentencing option, the jury should be taught the legal definitions of incorrigible and irreparably corrupt, which deal with the idea that someone is beyond the ability of being reformed. Lest we forget, our jury system does not require jurors to have specialized knowledge or training. It only requires that they are unbiased. Third, I think legislators should create a new law, one that requires parole boards conduct a specialized commutation hearing for every person sentenced to life without parole after they have served 25 years. This would not only incentivize the inmate's behavior inside prison, but it would also give them the hope of earning the possibility of parole and a life outside again.
The In-Between is written, edited, and hosted by me, Mel Barrett. I also do some of the audio editing, but I couldn't content edit this sucker without the amazing Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Amber Hunt, my editor. Amber keeps me on track and helps cut the bullshit. Thanks, Amber. Thanks as well to my research partner and cousin-in-law, Lacey Umble. I also couldn't get this done without the kick-ass team at Grabbag Collab, Amber Hunt, Amanda Rossman, and Daisy Egan. The In-Between wouldn't exist without the encouragement and support of my dear friend, fellow podcaster, and all-around rock star, Yellen Marie Marsh. I love you, Ellen. Thanks for all you do. And I want to send another shout out to Rebecca Lavoie over at Crime Writers On, who gave me my first feedback on the series and encouraged me to pitch it. Thanks, Rebecca. Finally, my love, my partner, Lindsay. Your support and belief in me always keeps me moving forward, even when the way ahead is very dark. Thanks for doing this with me. Also, your reenactments are my favorite. If you want to dive deeper into the cases I cover, visit inbetweenpod.com for source material and updates. You can find all the episodes and bonus content of The Inbetween on the Grab Bag Collab main Patreon feed. Until the next time, be good people and don't do murder.